This podcast was recorded Thursday, April 4th at 10:30 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Like those involved in doing something they don't want others to know about will learn that texting is forever. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who boldly share funny memes and then regret it years later. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up on the podcast, a discussion about term limits. But first, court files released in the past couple of weeks display the very friendly relationship the state's top utility regulator had with one of the state's largest utilities. The filings are part of the state's bribery and theft case against former utilities chairman Sam Randazzo. First Energy executives Charles Jones and Michael Dowling also face charges they paid money to Randazzo in exchange for favorable treatment in front of the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio, the PUCO. Here are some of the more interesting pieces of evidence that have come out in court filings. Prosecutors say Randazzo texted a meme to First Energy executives and lobbyists. Here's what the meme looks like. It's hard. It's audio here, but stay with me. It has the then PUCO chairman dressed as a superhero. He's wearing a mask that covers his eyes, and he's wearing a cape. And that cape has a lightning bolt and a large R on it. Surrounding Randazzo, surrounding his picture, are some pretty bold words. I am the hunter, captain, the king, da putz, and everyone's favorite, Randazzler. It's a pretty comical meme. Then there's another image, an image of Randazzo wearing a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer costume. He's got the big red nose, and he's standing next to energy executives and a lobbyist dressed as Santa Claus, two Santa Clauses, and an elf. I assume this was from some kind of holiday gathering or a Christmas in July party, perhaps. We're not quite sure of the date. And then after House Bill 6 passed, remember House Bill 6, the nuclear bailout law that Larry Householder pushed through the House and it was signed quickly by Governor DeWine. After House Bill 6 passed, First Energy's then CEO Chuck Jones sent a meme to Randazzo portraying executives, a lobbyist, and Randazzo, their images on Mount Rushmore with the words HB6, F anybody who ain't us. Of course, HB6 was a windfall for First Energy at the time in that it caused ratepayers all around the state to help bail out First Energy's nuclear plant in northern Ohio. While funny, prosecutors say the meme and text messages show that Randazzo was more than just buddies with energy executives and lobbyists he worked with before and after he became PUCO chairman. The state case is likely going to move faster than the federal case that has been going on now it's in year five. Prosecutors released their potential witness list this week, state prosecutors, that is. Many of the names are those who testified in Larry Householder's federal trial. Lieutenant Governor John Husted and Governor Mike DeWine's names are not on the list. That's what many people were looking for. But DeWine's then chief of staff and current top aide, Laurel Dawson, is on the witness list. Her husband was a First Energy lobbyist. He, too, is on the prosecutor's witness list, and it'll be interesting to see if they are called to testify and what they testify as to what state officials knew and when they knew it as far as the money that prosecutors allege that First Energy gave to Sam Randazzo and then him being appointed by DeWine to be the PUCO chairman. It all happened very, very quickly and right around the same time back when DeWine first took office. It'll be an interesting year in state and federal courtrooms as this investigation continues. If you remember, had Larry Householder not been caught in the scandal, had he not been removed as Speaker, his next mission was to end or extend term limits for Ohio state politicians. But even with Householder gone, legislative leaders are talking about changing the Constitution to end or at least loosen those term limits. The state of Ohio has had term limits for more than 30 years. Basically, all state elected leaders are limited to 8 years in office. They then have to run for a new office or, you know, they have to find another line of work. Now, 3 decades later, some question whether those term limits are producing better government and lawmaking. Current House Speaker Jason Stevens floated the idea back in December, and then late last month, Senate President Matt Huffman agreed that changes to Ohio's term limits amendment would be a good idea. On WOSU TV's Columbus on the Record, I discussed the issue with Republican strategist Mark Weaver, attorney and Democrat Joe Mas, and State House reporter Joe Ingles.
Joe Ingles, the leaders seem to want it. Do lawmakers at the State House, are they ready to put this back on the ballot?
Well, it's really complicated because this would require the voters to take action. So whether lawmakers want to put their neck out there to put this on the ballot is another question, because if you look at public polling, voters still like the idea of term limits. They really do. So are you going, if you're a lawmaker, are you going to put something out that you know the voters are probably going to defeat and you're going to use political capital doing that? You know, that it's a big question.
Joe, is it automatic defeat if it
wasn't
for the voters?
Yeah. You know, and the polling is amazing. 87% of the people seem to think that term limits are a good idea. And some people think that it should be a one and out. But basically what they're telling you is that they are unhappy with overall, with the systems. You know, some people believe that maybe they're happy with their individual representative whom they know and they see in church on Sunday and so on, but not with the overall system. But I will tell you that I personally think that term limits were a bad idea, not because it empowers the administration, the fixed administration, that it's nonpartisan, but because it empowers the lobbyists. They're the ones who know.
Mark, how about instead of scrapping it, you change it. You say, okay, you can serve 16 years total, but you can't come back. You can't switch houses. You can't switch chambers. 16 years total, would extending them a little bit, but not scrapping them. Could you sell that?
It feels like the Goldilocks solution. I was a young consultant and lawyer in D.C. in 92, flying to Ohio to advise government leaders, and that's when term limits was passed. And I remember them lamenting it. But the problem the voters were trying to solve was it took 30 years for you to become Senate president and 30 years to become Speaker of the House. And it became ossified at the top. We're now at the other end. People come in, they don't know anything, and then they leave quickly. So what you're suggesting, to the extent it could be passed, probably is the just right.
You could say, okay, this would really get complicated, though, and that's the problem. The Speaker of the House can only serve 8 years. The Senate President can only serve 8 years, just like the governor and, you know, Attorney General. They make term limits there. Have sort of a laundry list.
You want to have some seniority so legislators know how to pass a budget and a capital bill and get things done, but not so much that young, new ideas can't make its way to the forefront.
Yeah. But pretty much in agreement, it ain't going to happen anytime soon?
Likely not. Who's going to fund it? Who would fund that ballot issue? That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we get into House Bill 6 sort of problems.
Yeah,
I don't see term limits going away anytime soon. We'll be right back.
Listen to Untangled, a new podcast series that takes a complicated topic and untangles it for you. This season, we're tackling the housing crisis. From why Gen Z thinks they'll never be homeowners to why baby boomers are getting priced out by rising property taxes. Subscribe to Untangled from WOSU Public Media, part of the NPR network.
Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past 7 days. First, let's start with a little history, a very unpleasant history if you're a Cleveland football fan. Remember back in 1996 when the Cleveland Browns left Ohio for Baltimore? Owner Art Modell ripped the team out of Cleveland and ripped the hearts out of Browns fans. After the move, the Ohio legislature passed what is known as the Art Modell Law. It makes it hard for teams to move out of their home city if they have received some kind of public support, and most do receive public support for their stadiums. The law is credited with helping save the Columbus Crew Major League Soccer team because it mandated the then owners who wanted to move the team give local people a chance to buy the team. And that's exactly what happened, and they saved the Crew.
That brings us to today. The Browns want a new stadium. They want basically a domed stadium. And they are looking at possibly moving the team just outside of the city. For Browns fans, it would not be that big of a deal. Just a different parking lot to tailgate in. And we all know that Browns fans enjoy tailgating wherever those parking lots are located. But the city of Cleveland is not about to lose their team to the suburb of Brook Park out by the airport in Cleveland. And Cleveland City Councilman Brian Casey says he will ask the city to use the Art Modell law to prevent the team from moving 16 miles to the south. That's probably not what the state legislature had in mind when it passed the Art Modell law, but state law is state law, and it's pretty shrewd that Councilman Casey wants to use the law passed to keep the Browns from moving out of state to keep the Browns from moving just out of town. That'll do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, please be sure to leave us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and just tell your friends about us. For our student producer, Katie Genius, our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.